The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
What is up? Welcome to the baseball show. We're here again this week to talk a whole bunch of preseason shit. Nothing too exciting happening on the field, but a lot of shit happening off the field.
Well, Austin Riley hit two home runs today.
That was pretty fun.
Off of a left-hander and then a right-hander. So that looked pretty good.
I enjoyed that. Yeah, yeah. That was a good time. Joined by Dan Holloway, as always. We have a little housekeeping to talk first. I've been getting some messages from you guys and whatnot. Yes, fantasy baseball will be back. I think we're still trying to figure out potential platform that it's on.
Yeah.
So we haven't fully organized the leagues yet, but it'll be the same thing as last year in terms of I'll put a post in the Drinking Bros Sports Facebook group. If you're not in there yet, definitely get in there. And I'll, you know, ask for your guys' email addresses, and I will randomly sort the leagues again, essentially, and we'll do that. And the winners of each league will get a dope prize, signed jersey from somebody fucking cool, whatever. I'm fucking furious that I lost in the first round of the playoffs last year, so I'm coming in fucking hot this year.
Yeah, I stopped playing after my entire fucking lineup got injured.
Yeah, it was. I was able to cobble something together, but it was brutal. I picked like Luke Voit, thinking that was a good idea, and we'll talk more about him later. But yeah, I had a lot of people that I thought were going to contribute, never fucking contribute.
There was some. I haven't verified this yet, or I guess say looked into it yet, but there was allegedly some kind of physical altercation between Rizzo and Luke Voit on Voit's way out of town.
Really?
Yeah, like what was reported was that Voit always talks like mad shit to all the minor league guys that are up. Like, this is a real cunt to them, and Rizzo finally told him to shut his fucking mouth.
Yeah.
So it must have gotten pretty bad, because Rizzo's a pretty affable guy.
I would say Rizzo's not the shit-starting type.
No.
And Luke Voit, not that he hasn't had some reason to complain, but he's been bitching for the last like 2 years about not getting enough playing time with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. He led the league in homers in the COVID-shortened year.
Yeah.
And he feels like he's earned, you know, a starting spot, which he has now in another city. But yeah. That I didn't know that. That's fucking wild.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find an actual article about this.
Story on it. That's yeah. I love Anthony Rizzo, so I hope Rizzo won that altercation. But yeah, fantasy baseball will be back. You know, we'll get it all done, drafting and everything, before the season starts. We hadn't even gotten into the leagues yet because, A, like I said, the platform we're still figuring out. And B, what we're mostly talking about today, all these fucking signings and shit hadn't happened yet, and it kind of sucks to, like, you don't want to fucking draft before.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
You know who's playing where and shit like that. So, yeah, that's why we haven't done it yet, but fantasy baseball will be back. We had 8 leagues last year, I think. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty competitive and all that shit. It was a good time, so I'm excited to do it again. I missed fantasy baseball.
Yeah, it's fun. it's a good way to stay engaged as the season goes on. So here's the quote from the Yankees, unnamed source.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously they're not going to say what it was, but, Voit was picking on prospects all week until Anthony finally stepped in this morning. That was on March 18th. The two men were restrained before their heated argument could get physical. I mean, they're two pretty big dudes. They're both like 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah. Right?
Let them fight.
Yeah, why not? Let it go. I mean,
and whoever wins gets to stay at first base. I mean, that's how it should be anyways. That's how they do it. Like the Philharmonic orchestras and shit like that.
Yeah.
Those, for that first chair, they're fucking fighting. That's why they show up looking fucked up all the time.
I would actually pay to see that.
It'd be a lot better than currently. Yeah.
Fuck UFC. Like, give me two cellists beating the shit out of each other.
Yo-Yo Ma's has been, and it's with his cello.
Yeah, oh yeah, they can use.
Bang! You hear the whole fucking cartoon noise.
They can use the instruments. Obviously, that's got to be part of it.
Yeah.
First up, before we get into signings and stuff, there was another thing agreed upon by the MLB and the Players Association, the Ohtani rule, which says if you pull a pitcher who's also DHing, like if you take him off the mound, you don't have to take him out of the DH.
Yeah, I've been saying they should do this for like 10 years, but it was never really an issue until recently. But yeah, that should have always been the case. I first thought about it with Mike Hampton, or although he only played in the National League, I think, right? Mm-hmm. The Astros were in the National League when he played there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So him,
Tim Hudson,
Rick Ankiel. Although Ankiel couldn't pitch anymore, but let's say they wanted to try him out as a fucking closer or something. He unyipped his arm.
Yeah.
And then like, so what? You just lose his bat for the whole game? There's been cases of it, not a whole lot, but yeah, I'm glad they came to that decision because baseball fans deserve to see as much of this guy as possible.
Oh yeah. So here's an interesting wrinkle to that, though, and I don't know how it plays out with this rule necessarily, right? So you can DH or whatever and pitch at the same time. Mm. Let's say you really want to move a runner over. Your DH or whoever you've got in the DH spot, not that great, or you can do like a double switch or whatever. Mm. The guy on the mound, pretty good at bunting. Can you play a little move around where, you know, maybe the DH moves to left, pitcher.
No, moves. You can't. And the current baseball rules, your DH goes into the field. Now your pitcher has to hit. That's okay. How that works. Okay. Now. So they would have to change a couple of rules for that to work. but I do think this is a good thing. One of the rule changes that I like, the base thing is still stupid to me. I don't care about the pitch
clock.
Did you
notice it today? I didn't really.
It doesn't start until next year.
Oh, okay.
And
in
Major League Baseball, but there it's all over Minor League Baseball. Okay. So, the other one, the 10th inning runner on second base thing is fucking stupid. Like, if you're the players, you want a satisfactory conclusion to the game. Mm-hmm. And if you're the league or the media, I guess, in this case, is who's leveraging that, you want the game. Their strategy right now is to make the game shorter. But what if you could make it better for longer? So the game is in the 9th inning and it's tied. even if it's like 17-17, like it's a huge scoring game, it's like, holy shit, we've been here forever.
Yeah.
If that game ends, if you get one extra inning and then goes to home run derby, nobody is leaving the stadium. Nobody's changing the channel.
Right.
Not one motherfucker, which means if you're the fucking team or the media company that has a TV contract, then you either get more eyeballs on more advertisements or you're selling more bullshit to people inside of your stadium.
Yeah. And there's
like, what the fuck?
There's a thing, by the way, this happens in hockey where people kind of won't... people will tune in if they see a shootout coming.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They'll just real quick. They'll be like, oh, shit. watch the shootout.
Imagine it's your the best home run hitter from each team.
Yeah.
And they each have 1 3-minute round to hit as many home runs as they can, and whoever hits the most wins.
Mm-hmm.
Or even better, you go pitch for pitch. Like, you just go out, you got to go up there and hit a home run. If you don't on the first one, you're out.
Like, that'd be fun. So kind of like a soccer.
Like soccer shootout, yeah.
Oh, that'd be
like
fun.
You put your five guys versus their five guys, and you just rotate through until whatever happens, happens. I mean, there's so many different ways to do that. And everybody, the only thing anybody watches from the Major League Baseball All-Star Weekend, I mean, for any All-Star Weekend, they watch the slam dunk competition, sometimes the three-point competition, but people don't watch the fucking game. The game's stupid.
The game is awful, yeah.
And in baseball, they watch the home run derby.
Right.
That's it. So this seems like a fucking no-brainer to me. And it would also, I mean, as a fan, I would love that shit.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd be all about it. And honestly, like, yeah, if you're going to keep the runner on second stuff, that's fine. And maybe, I don't know, if you really wanted to get down to it, you could take it away in September and be like, no, you got to really win the game now or something. I don't know. Obviously, you can't do that in the playoffs. But, yeah, I don't hate that at all. First up on the moves, made this offseason. Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of getting to the quiet point now because there were a flurry of moves between our two episode or our last episode and this one. First up, the second most mind-boggling move to me for all parties involved. Carlos Correa signs a 3-year deal with the Twins where he can just opt out of it constantly, essentially.
He signed a LeBron deal, which is, it's a 3-year deal technically, but he has a singular opt-out in every single one of the years.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I can't imagine it's going to go well.
So the Twins aren't going to win anything.
No, I don't think talent-wise, I don't think they're... honestly, the White Sox are quite a bit better than them.
Right.
Like, quite a bit better.
I know the White Sox lost Rodon or whatever, but like...
Not worried about that.
Yeah.
That offense is fucking legit. And they're, at least as far as right now, they're all pretty healthy. And the Tigers have improved quite a bit from last year, like a considerable amount. Man, I don't see it. I don't know why you go all in on this one guy, unless it's just get a season worth of ticket sales or something.
Which it really, that's my only real thought on it. Well, that and they signed him to trade him.
Maybe. I mean, they traded for Gary Sanchez. He's going to hit a lot of home runs there. They still have Byron Buxton, who looked like he was finally having his breakout season last year before he got hurt. If that continues, they have a middle-of-the-road team, to be honest. It's nothing to fucking get excited about, for sure.
No, it's a really bizarre signing on all fronts. Certainly Correa, who has literally spent his entire career competing for championships, is going to, like, I mean, it's going to be July, August, if he's still there in August, and he's going to be like, this fucking blows.
Yeah, I mean, somebody might trade. Look, if you're a team that needs an extra bat in the lineup in August, can't think of a better contract or player to trade for.
Yeah.
Like, he's excellent up the middle defensively, and he's also a good hitter.
Killer in October.
And you know that it's a legit rental. Like, you can, and if it's not, you've already got him signed for another 2 years if he wanted to make that permanent. You know what I mean? That is a really good situation he's put himself in. I just don't understand going to the Twins. Maybe it's just to maximize cash wise on 1 year. I don't know.
Yeah. And it could be, because, I mean, I want to say I read before he took this, he was seeking like $10,350, something like that. Like,
he's still going to get $10,350 somewhere.
You think even at 28, 29?
28, yeah. 29, no.
Yeah.
So next year would be, actually, to be honest, he'll probably go to the fucking, I feel like if the Yankees or the Red Sox had wanted him, they would have got him.
Yes.
The Red Sox are locked in on the left side of their infield, I think.
Yeah.
And now they've signed Story, so second base is covered as well. I don't see him fitting in there, but Yankees could make a move like that. But it looks like they're shying away from signing big-name free agents. They're trying to get their own guys signed first and shit like that. so more likely he would get like a 10-year or 9-year fucking – I would say it'd probably be an 8-year with two – mutual options on the back end.
Yeah.
And it would be for somewhere in the 320 range. I don't know if he's going to get 350.
Yeah.
It'll depend on this season. Minnesota's a pretty fun place to hit, so it's not great, but it's not...
Not terrible.
It's not as fun as Houston, but there's a lot more there's a lot more alleys,
yeah,
I guess, in Minnesota.
What do you see? So because he's a righty, so, I mean, you got to think he's probably going to lose some homers.
Yeah, probably, but
in terms of fantasy production and stuff like that, but he's still Carlos Correa, so,
I mean. Yeah, I mean, he's, let's see his splits from last year. He had, and commensurate at bats, he had two more home runs at home than he did on the road, so that's like 1/7, so like 11% or 12% difference there. It's not that.
I mean, the Twins, they've got some stuff like Sano, who also crapped out for me on my fantasy team last year, but he's only, you know, a year or two. Like, he's still a big power bat. Yeah, Buxton, Kepler, and then obviously Correa is there.
Jorge Polanco hits bombs too, but I mean, how for his, he had 33 home runs is impressive. And 826 OPS with 33 home runs is not impressive.
Right.
That's like kind of unimpressive.
Yeah.
It's like he doesn't do anything but hit home runs.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that was that was his best year too. But even like he's put up some pretty good numbers in the last two or three years. That guy, we'll see how it turns
out.
It's
a fine lineup. I could see them. I mean, you know, they're gonna. I kind of see them maybe flirting with the division for a while. My guess is that they're gonna be maybe closer to their division than they are to a wild card spot.
Probably because of the East and West. To yeah, be honest.
That's what it feels like to me. But next up, have an even more, I guess, baffling signing. This one makes no fucking sense to me. Chris Bryant to the Rockies. I don't know what party that makes sense for 7 years. And fuck, let me see what the contract was. I mean, why? Why go 7 years, $182 million?
Well, he's obviously just going to get paid.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other reason you would have taken that deal.
He clearly, like, he's got a ring. He's got an MVP. Mm. Is he just setting up for the rest of his life?
Gonna I guess.
Have fun in Denver, smoking weed and eating torchies. Like,
why not?
Do you feel like the Rockies as a franchise even have a fucking direction right now?
No, they're just like kind of living paycheck to paycheck, like 100%.
I mean, and then like when you combine the fact that the Rockies wouldn't be competitive in any division with the fact that they're in a division with the Dodgers and Giants and even the Padres, like what does he think is going to happen? Like,
I don't know.
He doesn't care about winning at this point.
No. And he's like, I've been counting backwards here for a minute. So he's so far 1-for-15 career in Coors Field. So there are some people that it gets in their head. Like, they think they should be hitting bombs at Coors Field, and it completely fucks them up. 2019. Let's go to 2018. Coors Field, 2-for-8. So, six for 31 lifetime.
At Coors?
Well, 6-for-31 since with no home runs, I think, or maybe one home run.
That's weird.
Since 2018. So not great.
Yeah.
I mean, again, maybe, yeah, no, he's got no home runs there. So 194 batting average, zero home runs in the last four seasons there.
And the Rockies have not been good in that time.
No, they've been extremely bad.
Yeah, it's not like they're, you know, putting out like dudes that can throw. Not that anyone can throw at Coors Field anyway. What do you think, how do you think Bryant just projects moving forward? Because he was good last year, and he hasn't been bad ever except for the COVID year, which whatever. Yeah. But man, it just he feels like Rizzo in a lot of ways, in that like I'm just waiting for him to fall off a cliff.
Well, I mean, he fell off a cliff. So he had that. Well, it was MVP season 2016.
Yeah.
So he kind of peaked there and had another pretty good season after that, but it's been pretty steady since. The COVID year was weird, but the two other years, he was at 3.3 and 3.6 WAR in those two seasons. So, I mean, that's where he is now. He's a three wins above replacement guy.
Not an eight wins, which is what he was in his
right. Yeah. So
MVP.
I mean, it's not like if you're looking at the distribution of talent through a league. I got really high last night. Started doing math on the NBA. So. PER 15 is replacement level basically, and everything above that is above replacement level for those who don't understand that metric. Only 23% of the NBA is 15 or higher on PER, which means that 77% is below average. And that's how most leagues are. Talent is top heavy. It always is.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he is worth that amount of money because 3.3 is still fucking quite a bit more than zero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know.
It, to me, seems... I want to look at their depth chart really quick, the Rockies, because it, to me, it, even more so than the Correa signing, this seems like a... what do you call it? A ticket move.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Who do they... They've got absolutely no one in their rotation. I mean,
I would be shocked if he plays more than 1.5 of these seasons with them.
They've got to trade him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, did they? I mean, look, $100 million for a guy like Chris Bryant, who is just under, he's barely 30. That's pretty good, right? Like, yep. You're still getting a couple prime years out of him. He could have gouged you for more, probably. But, I mean, there's nothing around him. Who's going to protect him in this lineup? Fucking Charlie Blackman?
I guess.
Like, I
don't even like the fact that his name is Blackman.
No.
I think it's racist as shit.
It's not ideal. Actually, it's not even the worst name on the team. There, you see their DH is named Connor Joe.
How do you like? I've seen quite a few people with two names.
I've never seen the last name J O E.
But yeah, never Connor Joe.
That sounds like a lie. It sounds made the fuck up.
I mean, he appears to be of mixed ethnicity, so maybe it's some kind of combination of family names or some shit.
Oh, it could be Asian, I guess, and some sort of East Asian last name.
Maybe.
All I thought was just like American Joe, and the first name Connor does not put my mind into East Asian at all.
No, I don't like it.
Yeah, that's fucking bizarre. Yeah, the Rockies are gonna suck ass. I hope they trade him. I would definitely, unless you're in my league, avoid drafting Chris Bryant. Because fuck, dude, I don't know what he's gonna do there. I think a lot of people, I think a lot of fantasy players in particular are gonna be like, what? Chris Bryant plus Coors fucking Field?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, give me that shit all day. There's no one hitting around him. I don't even know. Chris Bryant's a good dude, and he's one of the best base runners in baseball, mm-hmm. So you know he's like a good effort guy, good like intelligence guy. But like, fuck, dude. Like, this just screams of like, yeah, I'm getting the bag. I'm here. I'm doing this for me. Maybe they'll
Seems trade that
me.
Way.
Yeah, maybe they'll trade me. It's fine. Whatever. And then a signing I do love. Fucking our Braves bring Kenley Jansen. They had to, it's a life for a life. The Dodgers take Freddie Freeman. We take a beloved player from them. Kenley Jansen to the Braves will be our closer.
Mm.
Did you see what Anthopoulos said about Will Smith?
Not he calling the N-word?
No.
Because he's white. That'd be weird.
Anthopoulos, while making this deal, checked in with Will Smith to be like, hey, are you cool with this?
Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that.
And Smith was like, and he's like, because if we get Jansen, he's going to be our closer, not you. Is that
right?
Fucking chill? And Smith was like, yeah, all I give a fuck about is having another parade. I don't care where I pitch. So props to Smith on that.
Yeah.
It feels like Anthopoulos is building this bullpen. I mean, he's probably done building it at this point. Has built this bullpen to be two things. One, Brian Snicker proof.
Yeah, that's the most important one.
Like, essentially, he's just given Snicker, like, no bad options. And the other one is October proof.
Like, yeah, it's deep. It's one of the deeper bullpens. It's definitely the deepest bullpen that the Braves have had in the history of that organization.
Easily.
But just in general, from a neutral perspective, like Luke Jackson, Kenley Jansen, Tyler Matzek, Colin McHugh, AJ Minter, Sean Newcomb sucks, but Will Smith,
Yates,
Kirby Yates, and we'll see who else gets in there, but that's already a fucking ton of people. And then you have Spencer Strider, who is their number two prospect. He's 23 now, blew through all four levels of minor league ball last year and ended up with the Braves in September.
Yeah,
because he throws fucking gas. He's the next whomever. Like, he'll be the closer for this team maybe this year, honestly, depending on how Kenley Jansen works out.
Yeah.
But if not this year, probably next year or sometime in the coming years. He throws over 100 miles per hour with the new gun. So it's like 97.
Right.
Which is good.
I'm interested. I mean, like, this is, like you said, this is the most toys or whatever the fuck you want to call it I've ever seen a manager have to play with in a bullpen for the Braves. Aside from Jansen being locked into the ninth, He can put anyone anywhere at any time. I mean, this is, by the way, this is Anthopoulos. This is the best. This is one of the best bullpens I've seen probably since the Giants and Royals in 14 and 15.
Yeah.
with our buddy Affelt on the Giants, and the Royals had that three-headed monster plus a couple other dudes in there.
One of those dudes is dead now, right?
He was starting by then. But Ventura, yeah. Ventura was flexing. Ned Yost, I think, brought him out of the bullpen for one of those games, and he got rocked. And he never recovered from it. Went on a long drive. And that was it.
Good for him. Yeah, this one is... good move but by the Braves.
It looks like, I mean, at this point, and we are already knew this, but like AA, you know, Anthopoulos is like, yeah, our starters are probably only going five in the playoffs.
I mean, they may be only going five during the regular season, to be honest.
Yeah.
The starting rotation is not that. Well, that's not true. I mean, if Noah pitches the way he did to lead off the year last year, then they have four legit number one starters on their team because he was pitching like an ace for most of the season. And we already know what Max and Ian Anderson could do.
Right.
Like Max should have won the Cy Young Award. Right. And Ian Anderson he handles his business. And there's, of course, Charlie Morton. You're going to get like a high three ERA for the season out of him because he gives up a lot of taters. But I would put those four guys up against any other rotation in baseball. Now, if you get Soroka back and he's pitching anything like he did, because he was a legit number one ace as well.
Right.
You've got three legit number one dudes on your team from him, Fried, and Anderson.
The whole five would be ones and twos at that point, which would be pretty fucking optimal.
You just don't see that very frequently ever in baseball. Like the 90s Braves were, it's the reason that everybody still talks about them is because you don't see three number one starters on one team.
Right.
Ever. And when you do, you definitely don't see quality four and five guys. Usually some fucking jackhole.
That's what people forget about those 90s Braves teams is like they forget guys like Denny Nagel and John Burkett, Steve Avery. Like they're the fourth starters. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't get a fucking break.
No. It was bullshit the whole goddamn time.
And the other one that was like that, it wasn't as long, but Dan's Phillies, their number four guy at one point was Cole Hamels.
Yeah. That was their best year.
Yeah, that's fucking dumb. That's insane.
Not our best year.
11?
Yeah.
Oh, well, 11 was your best year.
Wasn't our best year. Best lineup.
Okay.
Best rotation, but they did shit.
Well,
Cole Hamels won the World Series by himself.
Yeah,
that's true. And Joe Blanton.
But didn't they have... Blanton was good, too. Did they have Cliff Lee then?
No.
That was the year after he left, or what?
No. That was before Cliff Lee even got there. Yeah.
And before Doc, too, right?
Yeah, it was 2008.
Yeah. R.I.P. You guys couldn't get him a World Series before he died.
Fuck him.
Taking it.
Got a perfect game.
Yeah, that's true. Flying is a terrible habit to take up.
Yeah, just not interested in that at all.
It's probably safer to smoke, to be honest, than to be a rich guy taking up flying. Mm-hmm. Chances of the Braves interesting. The one thing that's funny about this though is this bullpen is fucking loaded, but it's loaded with all heart attack dudes who like big stuff, but are liable to walk two guys before they get out the next three.
Yeah.
So that's just one more dude who will do that. But Jansen's still pretty fucking electric, and I think he doesn't have his heart problems anymore. Remember that a couple years ago he had like weird heart shit or something like that. But yeah, I'm pretty hyped about having Kenley Jansen. That will be a good fantasy pickup because I imagine he's going to be getting a lot of fucking saves. But yeah, man, I can't wait. There's just nothing better than being able to fucking relax in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, relatively speaking.
We'll see. I mean, during the regular season, he's lights out. So
right.
At least we'll get some of that.
Yeah. That's the thing, though. Is like I'm not gonna have my night ruined after enjoying the first six innings of a baseball game because some fucking asshole decided to blow a lead that was like really fun to watch accumulate. That drives me fucking insane. But yeah, another good move by Anthopoulos. Hopefully, he picks up a starter. I don't know that he's going to though. He's always we talked about this before the show. He's really the last couple years he's shown he's pretty chill with going into the season with the rotation as like. Mostly good, but with question marks on the back end. Like, he trusts, he's fine with, like, trying to find depth there as opposed to in the lineup or the bullpen.
Yeah, that makes sense, though. I mean, there's going to be a lot more options between June and mid-June and the end of August when the trade deadline is than there are now.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to be sellers. People are going to be desperate for something or whatever.
Right. The only thing that's interesting about that is now they're, or I don't know if it's in place yet or if that's next year too, but the rule about how many times a person can go up or down from the minors to the majors, I think it's five, capped at five now. Yeah. So that might hurt his sort of fantasy baseball-esque back end of the rotation strategy of like, yeah, I'll just pluck this guy for the day. But I don't remember if that's in place this year or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a big sticking point of the Players Association, though, because they're tired of guys getting fucked on that. But you know one place you won't get fucked?
Well, technically not true.
Well, if you fuck yourself.
This is a sports show. I thought you were going to say ghost bet. I get fucked in the ghost bet all the time.
No, my bookie. I guess you could fuck yourself if you make a terrible pick. But don't
do that.
No, you're going to have a good time there probably at mybookie.com. Because if you love sports and love making money, then mybookie.com is the place for you. Not only does betting with mybookie make every game more exciting, but when you sign up using the promo code Drinkin' Bros, your first deposit is instantly doubled up to $1,000. With thousands of bets to make on all your favorite sports, there is no shortage of ways for you to win at mybookie.com. On top of having amazing lines and props, by the way, the best place to win money. MyBookie is also home to a ton of exclusive contests and promotions that you cannot find anywhere else. Get off the couch and get in the game with mybookie.com. Turn your love of sports into your new side hustle. Nobody wants to drive Uber. Head to mybookie.com and use the promo code Drinkin' Bros. And again, they will double your first deposit instantly up to $1,000. And then you start winning. You just go start winning today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. That's at mybookie.com. Next up, an interesting signing, because this team fascinated me last year in terms of, like, they were pretty ho-hum. And then they got in the playoffs and got fucking electric all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Trevor Story to the Red Sox. Where do you think that puts them in the AL East pecking order?
Second.
With the Blue Jays ahead of them or the Rays ahead of them?
Third. I mean, look, the Rays on paper right now, I wouldn't even care about, but that's not really how reality works.
Right.
So, yeah, they're probably, on paper, they're the second best team. They still have a lot of questions in their starting rotation, like big questions, like who's going to pitch is a big question.
Yeah. Michael Wacha is their five right now on the depth chart. That's not ideal.
Tanner Houck is their four.
Houck is an actual, like, he's good.
And we'll
see. He's a good prospect. And so this is, I think they're kind of banking on this being a year for him. Sale should still be, like, it depends on how he comes back, but I mean, like, he's only 32, right? Like, he should still be effective. And he, in 2021, 3.16 ERA, I think he only started like 9 games, 5-1. WHIP wasn't great, but I assume they expect Sale to return to some form. Eovaldi and Pivetta are perfectly serviceable guys in the middle of your rotation.
They're 3-4 guys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe they're counting on Houck being their number two guy. After Sale. I mean, you got to hope for the best sometimes. But their lineup is unquestionably good.
Yeah. JD Martinez at DH. I need to look into Dahlback. I don't remember his story. But I mean, like, Trevor Story, Devers, Bogarts, Jackie Bradley Jr. And, you know, who knows how he'll be in the regular season because he's kind of, but he's a big playoff guy. Kike Hernandez.
Yeah.
Well, fucking great.
Hernandez fucking. Four. Well, he had a 5 WAR last year. Plays good defense, center field. It's an important position. Bogarts, Devers, and fucking Trevor Story all in the same infield, banging off the green monster. Three fucking. It's look that you're probably gonna get 30 to 35 home runs out of each one of those guys.
Yeah,
honestly. and we'll see what Dahlback does, but he's a fucking 25 home run guy too. That's, at least offensively, that's a pretty fucking legit situation. Now, I don't know how much second base Trevor Story's played.
Right.
You know, he's a pretty good shortstop, so I doubt it's going to be a huge change for him, but it is going to be a change, so we'll see how that works.
I mean, you know, Trey Turner didn't seem to have a problem with it in L.A. last year.
No.
you got to think it's more just as long as you don't get, like, turned around.
It's throwing across your body is the problem.
Right.
I mean, and that's what a lot of dudes that have tried to transition from short to second have had to deal with, but I assume he's a professional. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. I love this. I love the Story edition. And I feel like a lot of people kind of thought or felt maybe like the Red Sox were a little bit quiet. I mean, that's all they did really, right? They added Trevor Story. Like, it wasn't a big off season for them as opposed to the Blue Jays. But they already, like, how much more did they need to add?
Yeah, I don't know.
Replacing
Jackie Bradley would have been nice. That dude is terrible.
Like, yeah.
He's a great, he's probably the best defensive outfielder in the league. If you include arm strength, and decision-making and shit like that, he's not the fastest anymore. He doesn't have the best arm anymore, but just if you combine all of it, but he had a 497 OPS. That is unacceptable for a Major League Baseball player.
Not ideal. Not fucking great. I mean,
you cannot be in a Major League Baseball starting lineup with a 497 OPS.
No. You can't be in a fucking minor league lineup with that. Their outfield's a little weak. Verdugo's not that great either. So it's really, I mean, Kike Hernandez is probably their best hitter in the outfield, which is, again, not ideal. The defense is good, though. So they got that going for him at least. And then Martinez should probably hit another fucking million home runs.
I think you're going to see a breakout year from Verdugo.
Yeah.
With all these righties in the lineup now, and it's going to go right, left up at the top. I think he's going to have a big year for them.
Do you think they make the playoffs?
I don't know. It's tough in the West. I mean, it's not just, or not the West, but the AL. It's not just, I could see the Red Sox, Rays, or Blue Jays winning that division and probably at least one of those teams is a wild card team, if not two.
Yeah.
But then I look in the AL West, the Astros are still good. And the Rangers have improved quite a bit. I don't think the Rangers are quite there yet, though.
The Mariners have
added a little bit. They lost some pitching, but they added a bit as well. Astros, despite losing Correa, are still a very, very fucking strong team.
Yep.
And
really fucking good.
They're getting Verlander back. So
what'd you say?
They're getting Verlander back.
Right.
And there's a lot going on there. So, I mean, if I had to pick right now, before the dust settles on everything, I would say that the Blue Jays probably win that division, or the Rays, and the other team is second place, and the Red Sox are third, and the second, third place team from the AL East are wild card teams. White Sox probably win the Central, and the Astros probably win the West. And
yeah,
that's it.
Man, it's. I guess we talked about the Angels a little bit with Ohtani, but if there was ever a year for the Angels to actually get off their dicks and do something, like, the Astros are easily still the best team in the West, but, like, they're weaker than they have been in the last 4 years.
Well, the expanded playoffs start this year, right? So there'll be four wild card teams, I guess. Well, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be three teams in the playoffs that aren't division winners.
Yes.
So that's a better way to say that.
But you don't have to be from, like, it's not each division gets a
second. Yeah, it doesn't, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So that'll be an interesting, almost like a, I feel like the AL East is going to be a slugfest and the AL West is going to be like a slap fight.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is when you're in a division like that, like the NL East last year, everybody's beats up on each other. But as long as there's one really, really shitty team, then it kind of offsets a little bit. And the Orioles are the worst team in baseball history.
So fucking bad.
So the teams at the top end of payroll are like $270 million this year.
Yeah.
And the Pirates, the Orioles, and who else was it? Fuck, I don't remember. Pirates, Orioles, maybe the Marlins.
That wouldn't surprise
me. Are all $30 million, around 30.
Which is how much Correa is making.
30, yes. Those teams should be, the owner should be forced to sell them.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to put money into it, then fuck off. And if the city can't make you that kind of money that you want, then you got to move the team.
Yeah.
Like, you can, there's, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's fucking dog shit.
Just get rid of those teams. I don't give a shit about that.
Contract them.
Yeah.
I mean, remember back in the day, they were talking about contracting the Twins and the Expos. Mm-hmm. That was in, like,
and they should have, because neither the Twins nor the, well, I guess that the Expos did.
Yeah,
because the Nationals won one, but they could have done that by starting a new team.
Dude, yeah, I feel so bad for Pirates fans. Like, I don't know who, like, what the fuck is even the point of owning that team if you're the owner of the, who is the fucking Pirates owner even?
Is it John Kerry? Teresa Hines?
Robert Nutting.
He needs to nut the fuck up.
Yeah, needs to nut some fucking dollar bills onto that fucking team. Yeah, that's fucking pathetic. I agree with you. I think the Red Sox are third in the pecking order in the AL East, and I think the Yankees missed the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because the Twins probably will make the playoffs, honestly. With expanded playoffs, they've got a good enough team.
The AL is really top heavy.
Mm.
There's like 3-4 teams that you're like, fuck, those are good-ass teams.
Yeah.
And then maybe one. The two best teams might be the Rays and the fucking Blue Jays. Mm. And then the White Sox and Astros a tier below that, and the Red Sox a tier below that, and then who the fuck? Then it's just wide open between shit and mediocrity.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do think the Red Sox are a tier below the both the Rays and the Blue Jays. I'm excited to see how the Blue Jays are going to come together this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think they need to get rid of, well, we'll see. But,
and they're actually back playing in Toronto now.
Yeah. Kevin Biggio is not... He's a serviceable player.
Yeah. Maybe see if you can trade him and just get something for his name.
Toronto is a big market. Like, it's a big TV market.
New York with all the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't keep Semien there.
That's
I don't get it, man. Maybe they just didn't like him or some shit. I don't know.
I mean, adding Chapman's no small thing, though.
No. We will get to see milestone-wise. In this season, we're going to see Miguel Cabrera's 3,000th hit.
Yeah.
Which will put him in Cooperstown, not if he wasn't already there, but I assume he is. But he's got 500 home runs, but we'll see that.
He's there.
That's fun. There's going to be, but the rest of the AL is pretty boring.
Yeah. Somebody needs to sign Pujols and just let him get to 700 home runs.
What is he, like 13 shy or something?
21.
Mm-hmm.
So it might take him 2 years. I mean, he hit 17 home runs last year in 109 games.
Yeah.
He's still, against lefties, Pujols is still above average in WRC+. Like, he's useful against lefties, except for when Tyler Matzik made him look like a bitch.
But, well, he did that to a lot of people.
Yeah, Matzik will do that. But I really do hope Pujols comes on with somewhere. I don't think the Cardinals want to take him. Even though he could probably,
he'd get a lot of people fucking in the stands there.
Yeah, but whatever. Next up, big news for the Phillies. Talking more about the Phillies. Philadelphia has signed Nick Castellanos, who we said last week plus 3,800, but that was pre Castellanos. We liked those odds. I kind of want to see what the World Series odds are now. Let me check my bookie. But that lineup is real fucking good now. I mean, it already was, but the Phillies lineup is kind of terrifying.
It would be if the anchor of the lineup wasn't Bryce Harper. Like, I'm not terrified at all by him.
What do you mean by that? Because he puts up the numbers.
I mean that last year when... Hold on, I've actually got all these stats written down. Just one second. Here we go. So he won the MVP. Bryce Harper did last year.
MVP.
Yes.
Yeah. which I was incredibly insulted by that. Because while the Phillies were still in the hunt, in contention. Harper went 6-for-31. That's a .194 batting average against the worst teams in baseball, including Baltimore.
Right.
Right? Other than the Arizona Diamondbacks. And he only had one home run and two RBI over the course of like 3 weeks. Austin Riley, on the other hand, in the same time playing against better teams, who, by the way, during the regular season, except for on-base percentage, had the same raid stats, the same amount of home runs, and more RBI, played elite defense, went 18-for-45, .400 in the same time span. I think it was a 9-game stretch.
Yeah.
4 home runs, 13 RBI, right? And they won the division. And he also had a higher wins above replacement for the year than Bryce Harper did. So when the game's on the line, Harper fucking shrinks away. He's got game-winning home runs and shit like that. But what the fuck, man? This guy, every time down the stretch, just fucking completely collapses. Not afraid of him at all. Especially not with all the lefties we have on our team.
Yeah, I agree. So the Phillies have dropped to plus 3,000 from plus 3,800. So
I think they've got a better shot than that.
I do too.
That's still good money.
We still, like we said last week, we like their...
Bryce Harper, the playoffs, by the way, .218 career average.
Well, he didn't play that much because the
he's got Nationals, 76 at bats.
But the Nationals never made it out of the divisional series with him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's only played 5 games, 4 games, 5 games, and 5 games.
Yeah.
In 4 seasons. And that was the last time that he was in the playoffs, 2017.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear about Bryce Harper and how scary he is.
I do like their lineup, though, man. Like Schwarber at DH, fucking Castellanos now.
Schwarber had an, I think, could be good. His swing is compact and shit, but he had kind of like an outlier season.
Yeah.
Just now for everything except for hitting home run. He always hits home runs, but hitting .290 or whatever. Like he did down the stretch with Boston, that shit ain't happening again.
Yeah.
He's a .260 hitter probably, which is fine. I mean, that's still serviceable.
Right.
And he's going to hit...
High slug.
Yeah, high slugging, yeah. His OPS, and he walks too. His OPS is over 900.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to get... I would say... that's a decent place to hit home runs. It's not like fucking Great American Ballpark or anything where a bunt goes out. But he'll probably hit like 35 or 40 home runs this year.
And
Bryce Harper will probably also hit 35 or 40.
Well, yeah, they're both lefties too, mm-hmm. so they're hitting at the shorter part of the mm-hmm. ballpark, I believe, right, Dan? Isn't it better for lefties?
The left center fucking gap is like 368 or some shit like that, I think. What is wrong? What's going on over there? We're doing a show. Quit fucking around.
Oh no, Joel found my AirPods I've been looking for like a month.
he just had them at his house. He's been using them. Piece of shit.
Still want to use it. It's just a flex, so you have more than one pair of AirPods. Where do you think the addition of Castellanos puts the Phillies in the NL East pecking order?
I think that makes them second behind the Braves.
Yeah.
The Mets are the Mets, dude. It's like fucking... The Mets look like the fucking Lakers to me. You know what I mean? They're making the mistake that the Yankees made in all the years they didn't win championships, which is like, oh, it's going to get Fogren and give Mark Teixeira $28 million. Like, oh, shit. That's not a great idea. Yeah, I don't trust the Mets at all. But, yeah, I think second in the National League East, probably fourth in the National League altogether. I don't believe in the Giants this year. Obviously, the Braves and Dodgers are up at the top, and the Brewers are fucking really good, too.
Yeah.
But I think the Phillies are right there.
Yeah.
Like anything goes wrong for any of these teams or the Phillies get hot, they could easily beat any of these teams.
This is a team. That's why the plus 3,000 makes no sense to me. They can easily make the playoffs in this new format. And once I don't care if it's expanded. Like I said this last year before the Braves made the moves. I was like, dude, fuck it. Like it's a lottery ticket.
Mm.
Like just buy your lottery ticket. You don't necessarily have to pay a lot for it. Right? Don't go bananas if you don't want to do that. But like If the lottery ticket's there,
yeah,
fucking take it.
I mean, they need pieces still in the rotation, but I mean, we just so do the Braves.
I mean, dude, Wheeler, Nola, and Eflin, that's solid. That's a solid top three.
This Suarez kid, they think is going to be like he's pitched mostly out of the bullpen, but
yeah.
I think they think he's going to be a fucking good starter too. And you know, they've got a decent bullpen, provided nobody gets hurt and shit. It's a good team.
It's the only thing that's a weakness for them is apparently the defense is pretty shitty. Like, D.D. Gregorius as your shortstop is not ideal at this point
in time. And Nick Castellanos is not good. I don't know if he's minus defensive war, but he's not good.
Yeah, no.
And to be honest, Bryce Harper's not that great either.
That neither of them are good. Abdubel Herrera, I think he's okay in center field, but I don't really remember off the top of my head.
His defensive wins above replacement was 0.2.
Okay.
So when you're looking at a really good or elite defender, you're looking somewhere like 1-2 to like 2.
Yeah.
Like in that range, that's a really good fucking defensive outfielder at least.
So he's breaking even.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, he is literally breaking even.
Yeah, which is fine. But Harper and Castellanos, not great. They have our old friend Johan Camargo as a bench bat.
He's a good bench bat. I just don't know how much that's going to fucking matter this year, you know?
He is good defensively. So you're probably going to see Camargo in games late a lot for Gregorius or Alec Bohm at third base.
Damn, Michael A. Taylor for the fucking Royals last year had a 2.3 defensive wins above replacement. That's a lot for a fucking outfielder.
Yeah. Taylor's a great defender.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to see anybody else up near the top of the list that's a fucking outfielder or not an infielder.
Yeah.
Kevin Kiermaier's up there, too. He's at 1.6. So that shows you Kevin Kiermaier's really good at playing center field.
Yeah, I like this Phillies team. I think they're going to be a fun team. I think the NL East, hopefully it's not the same kind of duel it was last year where everybody's fighting over, like, 88 wins.
Mm. Austin Riley, by the way, 1.5. Tied for 16th in the league.
There you fucking go, man.
Yeah.
Riley's going to suffer from the same thing a lot of bigger dudes suffer from, where he doesn't look as agile as people think.
He's only 24, though, so he's still got a young man's body.
Yeah.
So he'll, yeah.
They're going to have to keep him slim.
Yeah.
He's going to need to eat a lot of, like, salmon and chicken. but yeah, I like the Phillies. I like the Castellanos addition because honestly, here's the thing with that. If you like one guy is not going to make that much of a difference if your defense, like to improve your defense. So if your defense already sucks, just get the fucking bat and score runs.
Yeah, for sure.
Why the fuck not?
And you don't want to be, commit to it. You know, the Braves have seasons where they have 23 defensive runs saved by just the infield, I think last year, something like that. And that's a lot of runs saved by a group of people, and it does matter. But you still got to score one to win, man. And if you can't put fucking runs on the board, then you're gonna fucking lose. Now, Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer 1-2 with the Mets. That's something. It's not nothing.
No, it's fucking filthy. And their third starter is really good too. They got Bassett from the A's. So I mean, that's a dirty 1-2-3. The problem is, I don't trust their fucking defense.
Their bullpen is terrible.
And their lineup sucks, too. Yeah. I don't trust that lineup. I like Pete Alonso and shit.
As a Braves fan, I see Jeff McNeil come up. I'm like, man, fuck this guy. Because he always gets big hits off us, but he's like a 230 hitter in his career. So
he's
like
not that great. And I really fucking... Nimmo's kind of the same way for me, by the way. Marte is not going to be enough. He gets driven in than drives in runs. I don't trust Francisco Lindor. He's never been a high WRC plus guy. He's always gotten a lot of his wins above replacement from defense.
Yeah.
That lineup, dude, this is going to be, fuck, I feel so bad for Mets fans. This is going to be another fucking Mets team where Jacob DeGrom has like an ERA under 2 and 9 wins at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's not good for them. I mean, he last season 1.08 ERA, 0.55 WHIP. he's had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 consecutive seasons with a WHIP under 1. For a starter, that's
obscene.
I've never heard of anything like that before.
That's obscene for a closer.
Yeah.
It's absurd for a starter. It's fucking supernatural for a starter.
One somewhere between 1.05 to 1.2 is pretty good. That's like the top echelon of starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. Right. And he's double better than that.
Yeah. You can deal with basically you want it under 1-3, right? In the 1-2, the 1-2s to me is like the ERAs and the threes. Like
if you're a ground ball pitcher and you get a lot, you can force double plays. Like if it was Greg Maddux and it was 1-3, I wouldn't be worried about that at all. He's probably still a 3.2, 3.5 ERA guy, but somebody that's a fly ball pitcher, you start letting people on base, you're giving up big taters.
That's when it gets sketchy. Yeah, yeah, man. The Mets, it's just so incomplete. Like
it feels like the Knicks. Like they make a lot of moves. It's like, look at all the stuff we're doing. And you're like, you guys still suck, man.
I honestly, like, they're...
But you can't fault them for bringing on Scherzer. That was a good move. And at the time, getting Lindor was a good move as well.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have the balls to play in New York, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, his WRC Plus was never, like, super-duper high with Cleveland. Put up good, like, numbers that look like more traditional numbers, but, like, it really, like, wasn't, like, an on-base guy or anything like that. But I do like their rotation. DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, Walker, and even Carlos Carrasco. That's a good 1-5. But that, great. What happens when it's the sixth inning, when it's the seventh inning?
Yeah, there's not much on the back end of that. And I don't really trust Taiwan Walker is not good.
He had a good year last year.
He had 4.47 ERA. 7-11, 4.47 ERA. His career ERA is 3.97.
So,
and he suffers mightily towards the end of seasons.
He got a little unlucky because you see that whip was 1.18. So he had a little. He was on my and his average against was 106. He was not getting lucky. Essentially,
he listen. April 2.81 ERA 1-1. May 1.61 ERA 3-0, and then it's fucking disastrous after that. And it happens to him every single year. He gets off to a good start and then fucking tanks. So he should not be a fucking starter. He shouldn't be. You can't be in a rotation if you can't make it through the fucking season.
Yeah, I'd be more worried about.
He's a long reliever spot starter.
I'd be more worried about Carrasco in the fifth. I mean, that's you're kind of hoping for a repeat of past performance, right? Because he had some great years.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, but you know, we'll fucking see.
Bassett also had all of his success in a fucking gigantic stadium. That is really bad for hitters.
Yeah.
And that is not what the fucking Mets have.
City Field's not, it's pretty neutral.
Yeah, it's relatively neutral.
But yeah, you're right. He is downgrading that into and the defense gets worse.
He doesn't walk a lot of people though, so it's good. Yeah, but the defense gets considerably worse. The A's don't put up with bad defense.
No.
When you suck like that, you have to.
No, no. Last but not least, we talked about him earlier, Luke Voit to the Padres. Sounds nice.
To me, there's no heart and soul of the Padres, right? They don't have like a clubhouse leader.
No.
They have a lot of people who are exciting to watch. I like Musgrove, Darvish, and Snell. Darvish is hit or miss during the season.
Yeah.
But I still like those guys. Clevinger is trying to fucking get his shit together. Had a fucking good run in the games he actually got to pitch for San Diego last year after he came over from the Cleveland Indians. That's their fucking name. But with your best player out for half the season, and you can't have that much flexibility, right? Considering how much money they're paying him and Manny Machado?
No. Yeah.
And then you bring over another right-handed bat, Luke Voit. Now, I know he was available, but you've got Voit and Myers and Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. when he comes back. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, the bulk of your good, like, actually all of your good hitters, because Eric Hosmer is no longer a good hitter. He's a good defender who's a good situational hitter.
Yeah.
But he's like Mark Grace towards the end of his career.
Hosmer stinks. I can't believe how much money they gave him back in the day.
So the only legit hitters you have on your team are right-handed hitters now. Kind of pigeonholed yourself. Now, maybe they make a move in this later in the season. They did last year for sure. Made plenty of moves. So I don't know. But that to me, we'll see what Luke Voit can do. He's talked all this shit.
Man, it is both of these leagues, by the way, the AL and the NL. We won't get fully into it because we'll do a preview show. But like after the first like six teams, it falls off a fucking cliff.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And how many teams get in? Six?
Eight from each league.
Eight from each league? Yep. No, that's 16. It's 12-team playoffs, so six
from each. Oh, yeah, six from each. Sorry. Yep.
So, I mean, goddamn. Like, I mean, and really, it's Braves, Phillies, Brewers, Dodgers. Those are the teams I have a lot of confidence in. And then you've got the Cardinals.
I mean, the Giants. Mets. The Giants are going to be pretty good.
You think so?
Yeah, but I think the Giants and the Phillies are a step below the Braves and Dodgers, and I think the Mets and Cardinals are probably the next step below that. Maybe the Padres if they get everybody on the field
healthy. Shit together.
Yeah,
it's just like there's like three teams in the league, in the National League, that I think are like fully tightly put together and have a fucking plan. And then the other ones are just kind of a little messy. I'd put the Phillies in that too, actually. Four teams put together, they know who they are.
Mm.
And then the rest of the league is just sketch as fuck.
Kind of we'll see.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on. But maybe Voit does something. I don't know.
San Diego is not exactly the best place in the world to hit home runs either,
is it?
It's
not. And that's another fantasy player who I would fucking avoid.
Yeah, because if it's Manny Machado or Fernando Tatis Jr. hitting the ball into the gaps and off the wall, that's good news because those are probably doubles and triples. With Luke Voit, he may have a heart attack. Like, I know we just started hearing about him a couple years ago, but he's 32 already.
Yeah.
And he's fat.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's he going to do? Lead the league in fucking wall banger singles?
Right. Plus, I mean, he might talk some shit and Machado might stab him. So.
There's a good chance that he and Machado end up in a fight if things don't go well on the field. Like, there's a really good chance of that because Manny Machado is the dirtiest piece of shit in the entire fucking league.
Yeah, and apparently Voit's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, Voit's a cunt as well, apparently. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's. But you can see the replay. I don't need to see that live.
Yeah. Man, that clubhouse is actually going to be a fucking nightmare. You got Tatis, whose main hobby is getting in motorcycle accidents.
Doing TikTok dances and shit. Like, he's sitting in the mirror, like, working on his bat. Look, oh, yeah, that's the perfect angle for the bat flip. Which is fine. I think he's super fun to watch.
But, yeah.
That's what I meant when I said the team has no heart and soul. There's no, like, fucking...
No leader.
Who's on this team? Eric Hosmer, I guess. He's got a championship.
It's him, basically. He's going to have to be like, hey, guys. And I guarantee you, like, half of them will probably be like, fuck you, you're hitting
210. Shut up, you old white bitch. Yeah, like, like, Will Myers has never done anything. Has he even made the playoffs? Oh, yeah. Tampa.
Yeah.
Well, he did in 2020 with San Diego during the shortened season. He's all right. He had two home runs.
Series. Yeah.
Six game series. All right. They played, so they won their first series.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did. They beat the Cardinals. I forgot about that.
San Diego.
Man. Yeah. That, and a first year manager, by the way, too.
Who's their manager?
I don't remember who they hired, but he's walking into that fucking clubhouse. Because they fired the last dude, Bob Melvin. Okay. So
Bob Melvin's been around the block. Yeah,
all right. So that makes sense, at least. That's good for them. Because if you're bringing some new guy in or some kind of dummy in, fuck, that's a nightmare. But yeah, that's all I got for today.
Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here.